I'd rather be with than the people of God. Amen. And I would rather be in Taiwan because that's where God's called me to be. But at the moment, this is where He has me. So we might as well make the most of where He's got me at the time. And so I'm happy to be here. What a privilege. Happy to see my dad. Love my dad very much, my pastor. And I'll be honest, I was terrified enough just with Elder Howard being here. And then to walk into his office and see my dad sitting there. Yeah, I think Elder Howard got some pictures of that. I just talked to my dad yesterday. I listened to him preach in Idaho last night, so I knew he was there. And I sure didn't expect him to to be here tonight, but I'm thankful that he's here. He told me he'll be taking notes and critiquing, and he will. Amen. I need all the help I can get from him. Last time I was here, I told Elder Howard said I could use his desk, and I appreciated that because I thought maybe I could find some notes on there that I could use. And he told me to go ahead. He said it'd be so messed up by the time I got done, they wouldn't know where it came from anyways. Oh, man. So I got... Amen. So I've got some from my dad tonight, and we'll see if we can make those work instead. No, I'm just joking. I won't blame this on him. Amen. But we're happy to be here. Thank you, Elder Howard, very much. We love and appreciate the Howards very, very much. And to my wife and I and our family and to my sister and my brother-in-law, when Elder Howard comes, it's like having a grandpa come, not because of age, but that's just what he's like. And we're not your grandkids, but boy, if we could be, we would. And, okay, he said he'll adopt me right now, so I appreciate that. We love when Elder Howard comes, and I feel bad we have him tell the same stories over and over and over, but they're great every time. And I got to hear some more today, and I need to just start pulling my phone out and recording when he's telling stories, because, man, they're good stories. And there was some he told me after I got out of the youth group, but boy, they sure would have been effective when I was in the youth group. And I wish he would have told me those then. Amen. But it's good to be here. And we're thankful that God has allowed us the opportunity to be in Taiwan. And some people feel bad for missionaries. Don't feel bad for us. We're happy to be where God has put us. And we feel at home. I am more Chinese now than I've ever been. And you can't tell that. But I feel comfortable with the Chinese people. I love the Chinese people. And I don't know if they love me, but they act like it sometimes, so I appreciate that. Amen. But we are working in the cities of Taipei, the capital city, under Brother Chris Bracken, who's pastoring in Taipei and still on the south end of the island in Kaohsiung. And we also are pastoring the newest work that Elder Bracken had started before he left in the city of Hsinchu. And that's just about an hour south of us in Taipei. Between the two cities, God's given us the opportunity to work with about 9 million people. And I think, should the Lord tarry, that's enough to hold us over for a while. And we're excited to be there. And so many people that need God. Elder Howard mentioned about the lack of laborers, and I realize only God can call and someone has to answer. In Taiwan, there's three pastors, myself, Brother Chris Bracken, and Brother Jesse Zhang. And I don't think that we can do 8 million apiece. Maybe we can. I don't know. But we need more people in Taiwan. And we're not traveling around trying to get people to come to Taiwan. That's what God does. But boy, there's a lot of people who need God. And driving around in the United States, there's a lot of people that need God. And when you begin to think that everybody you see has an eternal destination somewhere, it's sobering to think, and I want to make the most of the opportunities that God gives us, amen, to tell someone about what God can do for them, amen, and see people saved. But we're privileged to be here, and I wasn't going to preach long anyways, but I definitely won't preach long. Now, if my dad was preaching, that'd be a different story, but I promise we'll be out of here before he would be done. Amen. I love my dad very, very much. Amen. And I found that it's not just his pastoring that makes people go to sleep, because the church that the Lord has allowed us to pastor, boy, they'll sleep right on the front row while you're teaching and preaching. So I guess it's just something that goes on everywhere. Amen. But I'm happy to be here. Amen, amen. And what a privilege it is to be here. If you would stand with me this evening, we'll read from the Word of the Lord. Just one verse, Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. I guess I better find the verse I wanted to read from. Amen. Verse number 20. Excuse me, verse number 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Amen. Would you pray with me and ask God to have his way the remainder of the service tonight? Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity we have to be here in your house, God, to feel your presence. We pray your will would be done here tonight, God. Listen to my mind. I pray to think your thoughts. Listen to my mouth to speak your word. Let the word of the Lord have recourse in our lives. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we need your help, God. I need your help. I need your help tonight, God. Amen. The Lord bless you. Please be seated. As we enter the sanctuary tonight, hearing the songs that were sung, I begin to feel the Lord confirm to me what I had felt to preach, and I appreciate the words of the songs that we did sing. You know, I had a revelation, and this may seem kind of weird, but just a few weeks ago, I've always heard the church is the house of God. And I knew that. I mean, I've grown up in the church. And we hear this is God's house. But a lot of times we come like it's our house and it's God's privilege to be here. And I heard someone mention, and it just clicked with me, that it's a privilege for me to be in God's house. Amen. God didn't have to allow me the opportunity to be here, but he did. Amen. This house is dedicated to the Lord. And he's allowed me an opportunity to enter into his presence. Amen. And as we came in tonight, hearing songs that lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. And worship him for what he's done and the things that he's doing. And songs that are about him. Amen. I like to hear words of songs that are about Jesus. Doesn't really matter how I feel, and I don't want to sing about how I feel. But I do want to sing about Jesus and the things that he's done for me. Amen. And as we begin to hear the song sung tonight, I begin to feel again what the Lord has put on me for tonight. And if he'll help me, we'll get there in just a moment. When we receive a gift, often we're excited about it. And I like to get gifts. And I know you like to get gifts too. Amen. And we like to give gifts. And now that we have some children, it's sure a lot of fun when our oldest boy, when we can give something to him and he lights up. And boy, what a pleasure that is. And it's fun. He enjoys it. And I like watching my niece. She loves to get gifts. And when we're in Taiwan, it's often. Uncle John just gets feeling that Bella needs a gift. And thankfully, we have Amazon. So I like to send gifts to Bella. Don't even have to ask her parents. I just click buy, and it goes right to their house. Amen. But it's fun to buy gifts, and it's fun to receive gifts. But after a while, gifts that we receive begin to lose the excitement. And if you were to ask me what I received for Christmas last year, I could not tell you. I do not remember. I'm sure I was appreciative at the time, but I don't remember what anybody bought me. And I'm already looking forward to what I'm going to get this year. Yeah. Amen. We've got to the place where my wife just kind of lets me buy my own gifts, and that's kind of fun. Boy, that'll make a good Christmas gift. Amen. You don't even have to ask for forgiveness that way. You just say, babe, this is what I'm getting for Christmas. Amen. But I'm looking forward to what we're going to receive already. But life happens, and we begin to forget the things that we've received, and as children, we would receive toys, and eventually the excitement's gone, and it's just another toy in the toy room. And boy, you should have seen the toy room when I was growing up. It was a mess. My parents would have me clean that thing, and it would take forever because I'd get distracted and find other toys I hadn't played with for so long because they were buried beneath other toys. Things just would wear off. It wasn't exciting as it had been. Now that toy that had brought me so much joy when I received it is just another one in the pile. My parents still laugh. Oftentimes we'll talk. If we're at the store, we talk to them on the phone. My little boy's getting to where he really likes matchbox cars and Hot Wheels and tractors. We've been getting him some. He gets real excited. My parents will remind me when I was a kid, every time we went to the store, if they had this type of toy, I would always go and find one, bring it to my parents, and they tell me, I would say, "Oh, I've always wanted this one." I'd probably never seen it before, but boy, that was the one that ever since I saw it, this is the one that I've always wanted. Now, some years later, I can't remember one single one. I guess I wanted them, but it wore off after a while. And I still have those cars, and my son, he loves digging into them, and now we're taking them a little at a time back across the pond, he's enjoying them. But to me at that time, that was very important. I was excited about these gifts. But as I mentioned, things in life begin to wear off. And we get older, and I didn't want matchbox anymore. I wanted shotguns, and I wanted decoys, and camo. Babe, I still want that stuff. Amen. Amen. But we get excited about receiving gifts about giving gifts. But in the church, though, we can't allow this mindset from the world to take over in our walk with God. Amen. And by the help of the Lord, I want to preach that Jesus is still the best thing that ever happened to me. Amen. It doesn't get old living for God. Gifts lose their excitement and their newness. But what Jesus has done for me, amen, is still the best thing that has ever happened to me in my life. Amen. I'm a young man. I'm only 29 years old, but I've had the privilege to see some neat things in my life, to hunt. I love to hunt and fish. I've been privileged to kill some neat animals. But Jesus is the best thing that has ever happened to me. And nothing will ever trump or beat the experience of what Jesus has done for me. And as I began to pray about this service, what the Lord began to deal with me about was just taking a walk down memory lane about what He's done for you and what He's done for me. And what a walk that can be when we begin to remember the things that the Lord has done for us. Amen. It's been a good walk. And some have years and years of memories to think about and to remember. And others are just getting started on this journey. Amen. But I can say for myself, though I'm young, that Jesus is still the best thing that has ever happened to me. Amen. We sing the song, and I assume maybe you do too, an old song, "Look What the Lord Has Done." Amen. Look what the Lord has done. He's healed my body. He's touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm going to praise His name. Every day He's still the same. Come help me praise Him. Look what the Lord has done. Amen. And God would have us tonight to look again at what He's done for us. This Bible is full of stories of what God has done for people. But it's not just this Bible. This room is full of people and stories of what God has done. Amen. And we're going to take a walk down memory lane, if the Lord will help us. Some stories from the Bible and some things that God has done for us. Because He'd have each of us to feel tonight when we leave here that Jesus is still the best thing that's ever happened to me. Amen. Jesus was always helping people. And we could say that he was a people person. He still is a people person. And he wants to help people even here tonight. It's his desire to save people. Starting in the book of Mark, chapter number 1, we begin to see stories as Jesus' ministry is beginning on this earth and the things that he would do. And from the very beginning, he is helping people. Mark chapter 1, verse number 21, they came into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. They were used to hypocrites teaching, and they were used to dead, dry church. But one day, Jesus walked into their church. Amen. And it was the best thing that had ever happened in that building. Amen. It was the time when the presence of the Lord, God manifest in flesh, walked into that building, maybe for the first time. Amen. And they're amazed at this man. And what's going on here? He's not like these hypocrites. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out. I wonder how long that man had sat in the house of God. And that spirit evidently must have felt comfortable in the house of God. But when Jesus came in, he was no longer comfortable. And he begins to cry out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him and saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Amen. And the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice. He came out of him. Amen. It wasn't a long, drawn-out process. He had to come out when Jesus said, come out of him. And they began saying among themselves, they're amazed. What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Now, we've not been able to talk to this man and interview him, but I think if we could, this man would tell us that Jesus was the best thing that had ever happened to him. He was in the right place. He was in what was supposed to be the house of God, but he had not found the help yet that he needed. But when the Lord came in person, amen, he found everything that he needed. We don't know how long he had been bound by this spirit, but there was no hope for him in that synagogue until the Lord came. And when Jesus came, it changed his life forever. Amen. Just down a few verses in verse 40, Jesus again is helping somebody. There came a leper beseeching him and kneeling down to him saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion. I want to be as easily moved with compassion as Jesus was. He put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And we know Jesus told him not to go broadcasting these things, but I have to say, if I was in the man's shoes, I probably would be pretty excited about having my leprosy cleansed. And he began to tell everybody what Jesus had done for him. And I didn't live in that time, and I've not studied it a whole lot, but it doesn't seem that they could treat leprosy then like they are able to do so now. And it was a disease that you didn't want. And the last thing you would want to do is touch somebody with leprosy. But notice Jesus went ahead and put his hand out and touched the man and healed him. And this man could tell us, if we could speak to him, of the moment that Jesus came into his life. Amen. It wouldn't be some experience that he had a hard time remembering. He could probably tell you what he was wearing. He could tell you what Jesus was doing. And when Jesus reached out his hand and touched him, oh, the difference that was made in his life. And I think he would join the chorus of those saying that Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Amen. It continues that Jesus is still changing lives. And even tonight, he wants to change lives, not just for a little time, but he wants to change eternal destinations. Amen. He wants to make our life better by him being in our life. Chapter 2, it continues on. He comes again to Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in a house. Amen. And this man that's sick of the palsy, he could not get in on his own. And his friends come and begin, we know the story, removing the roof so they can lower this man down in front of Jesus. And Jesus saw their faith, and he said to this sick man, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And there was certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk.' But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins," he said to the man, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine own house." And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." Amen. They were used to the dead, dry religion that they had grown up with. Amen. But all of a sudden it's different because Jesus has come on the scene. Amen. And they lower this man down, and maybe he's been sick his whole life. I don't know. But he couldn't get there on his own, and he had some friends that are able to help him get to Jesus. Amen. And the human eyes saw the greatest need as being this man needs a healing. Amen. But the eyes of Jesus saw the greatest need was this man needs his sins forgiven. Amen. Our greatest need is not getting a healing. Amen. I'm thankful for when God does heal us. And our greatest need is not getting some blessing from God. And I'm thankful for the blessings of the Lord. But our greatest need is for God to forgive us of our sins. Amen. And he'll do it when we truly repent of our sins. Amen. Evidently, this man must have had a heart that wanted to be right. And God forgives him of his sins. Amen. And just so that these others would know he had the power to do so, he also healed this man. This man's life was changed forever when Jesus said, "Thy sins be forgiven." But the change continued to happen and Jesus healed him as well. That man left completely different than he arrived in that house. For one thing, he probably went out the door instead of going out the roof. Amen. It was different. It was completely different. And again, if we could talk to this man, I think he would tell us, "Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to me." Mark chapter 3, Jesus healed the man with the withered hand. Mark chapter 4, he calms the storm with the disciples in the boat. He was always doing things. He was the best thing that had ever happened to anybody that came in contact with him. And then to the story that we began with tonight, the man from the Gadarenes, this demon-possessed man. And Jesus has taken a ship across the other side of the sea. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. I don't like going to cemeteries anyways, but could you imagine being in a place where a man is screaming and cutting himself and jumping around in the tombs? I'd be out of there quicker than I am with nobody there. And this man is there. He's tormented by demons. But Jesus came to where this man was at. Amen. And the man comes running to Jesus. And the people of the town had tried everything they knew to do. Tie the man up. And put fetters on him. But this man would break them off. In our day, they would give him medicine and try and sedate the man and all these different things. But all it took was Jesus coming to where this man was at. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped and cried with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And again, Jesus said, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And we know the story. They came out and went into swine and off into the sea they ran. And those who watched the swine went into the city and began to tell what had happened. And the people of the country, the city, they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Again, they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devils, and also concerning the swine. And on down, this man has come to Jesus. He wants to follow him, to be with him. And Jesus tells him, he didn't allow him to do so. He said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in all Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. What a miracle. Amen. A man possessed with all these devils. And the city, they've done their best to help this man, but to no avail. And no doubt people in that city avoided this area just because they didn't want to come across this man. And probably told their children, stay away from that area where that crazy fella's at. And everything they tried could not contain the man, could not help the man. But when Jesus came, the man received everything that he needed. Amen. It wasn't a long, drawn-out thing again, because Jesus can do what needs to be done right now. And what a different man we see in verse 15 from the man we read about in verse 3, 4, and 5. Sitting clothed and in his right mind. He's listening to Jesus. And it was because he had an encounter with Jesus. And again, if we could talk to this man, I believe he would tell us, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Nothing would even come close. Everything he may have experienced later on in his life, I could imagine him telling people, let me tell you about the day that I met Jesus. Amen. God's done some great things for us, has he not, church? Amen. I believe Jesus would still have us to do as he told this man. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Amen. God has been good to us. And I have a job to tell somebody what God has done for me. I thought of the story of our bishop, Bishop Picklesheimer, when he encountered Jesus. And they told him on his job. He left Friday as a sinner, and he came back Monday morning a different man. And they told him, nobody changes that quickly. Amen. Friday, he was on his way to hell, but Monday, he was a different man. Amen. He was changed. And they said that the men he worked with said that can't happen that quickly. But you see, he had come in contact with Jesus. And he would tell you, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Amen. Can you remember when you met Jesus? Oh, thank God. Is he still the best thing that's ever happened to you? Amen. No doubt in a crowd of this size, there's people who came to this place bound by drugs, bound by alcohol, bound by perversion of all kinds. And even if we were born in the church, we were born sinners. Amen. And maybe others had tried to help you, friends and family and organizations, but it didn't change us. It was a band-aid over an issue that only God could fix. Amen. It didn't address the serious part of the problem. Maybe you can remember coming to this altar, and it wasn't family and friends that met you. Yes, the church prayed with you, but Jesus was here, and he was here to help you. Amen. He didn't turn you away and say, I can't help you. You're too far gone. I don't know what to do for you. No. Jesus was here because he knew you were what he needed. Amen. Can you remember when he delivered you? When he healed you? When he forgave you? When he washed your sins away in baptism and filled you with the Holy Ghost? Is it still the best thing that's ever happened to you? Amen. Jesus is always there for us. in the hard times, it may be hard to see them, but sometimes hindsight's 20/20, and we can see that Jesus was there because he was the best thing that ever happened to us. I was a sinner when Jesus found me, born in the church, but I needed God. I was on my way to hell the service night that I got the Holy Ghost. Amen. But I had an encounter with Jesus, and it was the best thing that's ever happened to me. Amen. I came in a 7-year-old child needing God, but I left on my way to heaven. Amen. Because I had an encounter with Jesus. The times I failed God and come back and said, God, I'm sorry. He hadn't gone anywhere. He was still there, and he forgave me again. Amen. He's the best thing that's ever happened to me. The times I've been sick and Jesus has healed me. When I've needed direction in my life, he's been there to give direction. Through my pastor, through the preaching, through prayer, God has given direction. Every time I've needed him, he's been there. And the blessings that the Lord has given me, it's not because of me, it's because of him. I don't deserve anything that God has given me. Amen. But you see, Jesus is the best thing that ever has happened to me. And I believe that you feel the same way. But oh, I don't want it ever to wane how I feel about what Jesus has done for me. And evidently, it's possible for people to get to the place where they feel like they can find better than what Jesus has done for them. Amen. And they walk out of the house of God thinking, I'm going to find something better outside of these walls. Amen. It's a lie of the devil for anybody to ever believe that you could find something greater than what God Almighty has done for you. Amen. And people begin looking for something better. But there's nothing better. You can't improve on what God has done. The only one who can improve is God himself. And he can give us even greater things than he's already done for us. And we see that Demas, for some reason, fell in love with the world. And Paul said, he's forsaken me, having loved this present world. Evidently, what God had done for Demas began to lose its excitement. And at some point, he found a way to love the world and to go thinking that something out here will be better than what God has done for me. The church at Ephesus had an issue. They were doing things right still, but they had lost their first love. And God was dealing with them because God doesn't like when people forget what he has done for them. Amen. And when their love begins to shift to things outside of God. Amen. And God wants us to still love him like we did the first time that we encountered him. Amen. To remember what he's done for us. Amen. God, help us to love you like we ought to do so. Amen. I don't want to let it get cold. Amen. I don't want to get to a place where I think I can find something outside of the house of God to improve on what I've experienced. At home, we sing a song that says, my life was a wreck. My world had fallen down. I was in trouble all around. I had been knocked down round after round. In chains of darkness, I was bound. My days were long. My nights were the same. I was so confused, for I had failed at life's game. But there was one. He wanted to ease my pain. I heard him calling my name. He said he loved me. Jesus loved me. Then it says, then I met Jesus. He answered my plea. Then I met Jesus. He gave me peace. He showed me love as I cried to him in the night. When I met Jesus, he made everything all right. Is Jesus still the best thing that's ever happened to you? If you've never met Jesus and you're here tonight, it'd be a great night to meet him. He's here to help you. He's here to save you. He doesn't accept people like this. He's got open arms. And he will be the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. If you'd stand with me, the music can come however you close. If your experience has grown old tonight, God wants to refresh your memory. If it's become routine and just a way of life, God wants you to leave here remembering the things that He's done for us. And remembering and feeling that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. There's a song entitled Such, about the best thing that ever happened to me. It says, I've had my shares of life's up and downs, but God has been good to me, and the downs have been few. Well, I guess you can say, God has blessed me, for there's never been a time in my life He didn't see me through. If anyone should ever write my life story, for whatever reason there may be, He'll be there between each line of pain and glory. That's why I say Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. If they ever were to write my life story, they would write, one day I was lost, but Jesus found me. And He picked me up. He turned me around. Filled me with the Holy Ghost. And that's why I say Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Amen. Would you lift your hands and talk to the Lord? Jesus really is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And the best thing that's ever happened to anybody.